Yeah, right.
Yeah, sorry, man. I didn't want to interfere with your chocolate drinking, coffee, tea drinking.
Chocolate drinking?
Well, you know. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, all of the Apple news in a week, providing Doc actually turns up. Have you got to leave early this week, mate? Just asking.
Oh, no. Easy turbo.
Have you got to go early?
No, I'm good.
Oh, no. He's embarrassed about drinking, so he switched his video off so he can have a drink.
No, I'm good.
Do you know you switched your video off? Oh, there he goes. Okay. That's a good, that's an interesting look.
Time for a proper cuppa.
What, it's because everyone in England dresses like that?
No, man, this is my Izzy Hayes is happy. You'll never find. Wait, that's Lou Ross. Never mind.
You're a black King Edward there, that moustache and beard. You looked exactly what King Edward would look like if he was a black dude in Hawaii.
I'm not sure about the suit.
Or Oahu.
Yeah.
Hey, I will let you know, I do stir my tea with a fork.
Because the tines in it allow you to get like a much more even blend. Otherwise, the spoon bruises the tea. Is that what you're saying?
No, it was just the only thing.
No,
I
you should do. You should totally have
kitchen.
That as a story because that's really poncy. I had an English friend who told me you should always stir tea with a fork because a spoon bruises the tea. That's what you want to say.
Bruises
the tea. And mate, you'll have so many Americans will believe that.
Of course they will.
If they drank more tea, they could elect a president. Moving on. I just take the piss out of the system, Patrice. That's all you got to realise. Joining me, Doc, the Ecamm drinking tea meister, who dresses in the most outlandish stuff on virtual cameras. How you doing, brother?
Oh, good. It's been an absolutely crazy freaking week. I've been super busy. It's nuts. I'm going to be even more busy this weekend. And then we can't wait till Tuesday.
It'll be Christmas. It's only 50 sleeps today. You know that? 50 sleeps.
What's 50 sleeps? I don't know that.
That's where you go to bed. And for those of you that haven't got insomnia, you sleep through the night and you're only going to do that 50 more times and it's Christmas. 50 more sleeps to Christmas.
I got it. I like that. That's cool.
Don't you guys tell American kids that?
No.
Three sleeps till Christmas. The kids that can't count, you do three sleeps till Christmas. And then...
if they can't count, everything goes ahead.
No, because you can do three like little bits of paper or something like that and they get to take a piece of paper away and they know there's another couple of sleeps to go. And it helps
do a lot of British kids have trouble counting?
Or sleeping?
Not as many as American kids by the sound of your election.
Those are full-grown adults.
Mate, that is just so wrong.
What?
Just call me Gigi.
Actually, you know what's creepy? It looks like my sister. That's what's super creepy about it. I got to send her a picture because it looks like her.
Doc, can I paint you like one of my French girls?
Yo, I was just jealous that Brett got his beard done, and I trimmed mine right before November, and then so I can reset it for the year, and then okay. Yeah, Brett looks very good. I like it.
We'll get to Brett's appearance. Oh, boy, I'm
kind of
that?
Jealous.
Something just fell off somewhere. That's interesting.
The show.
Yeah, true. Jeffrey, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing great, and Doc, I have to say thank you for posing perfectly for the screenshot, so that now I have a new picture for your contact card.
Yep.
Oh, thank you. And Jeff, I'm sorry, I still have your thing sitting here on my desk because I got busy, but I'll send it to you.
You know, it's all good.
I've got your thing on my desk because I got busy. Is that
now, how he
we could elaborate, but Doc, don't.
No,
let's just
please
let
don't.
No, I'm going to leave it.
No,
leave
really,
it just
don't.
Like that.
No, don't. Thanks for stepping in last week, by the way, Jeff. Really cool of you.
Oh, glad to help.
Even
he hasn't seen the recording yet.
Well, I did kind of skim. I saw the bit where you went, I've got to leave early.
Didn't miss that one.
I'm not going to let it go. No, yeah. I'm going to be there, but I've got to go. I'm going to turn up late, but I've got to go early. Cheers, mate.
I didn't turn up late. I was on time. actually. Jeff couldn't start the engine.
Mate, that's the biggest whopper you've ever told.
100%, bro. I was one of the first. Jeff couldn't start the engine.
That's why. You f***ed everything up by turning up on time. Oh, 5 minutes. I got a fuff. 5 minutes. Next to Jeff, Patrice. Hey there, missus.
Doing good. Doing good. It has been, as Doc's week, it has been a bit of a crazy week, especially I've kind of dealt with a lot of insomnia this week. But
you're in lockdown, aren't you?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, not full on like everything locked down, but we're working for, like we're asked to work from home. It's not a mandatory thing yet.
Oh gosh, did that take a while to work out? Oh, should I work from home? Shouldn't I? Oh,
no, that was like, I mean, I started doing it before they even did that. I was like, this is bullshit. No, it's been good. I mean, I'm here on like 2 hours of sleep last night, so we'll see how that goes.
Nice. Next, Patrice. Dave Ginsburg playing hooky.
Yeah. No, it wasn't hooky. The person came to pick up his laptop and I said, I'm heading home and we're going to do the Max show.
Dude.
It's been a crazy week. It's been a crazy week. Just I got raw a lot of laptops. So they're pressuring me. So I got to get this stuff done. So, but I'm going to try to set aside Fridays. You know, I need a day off.
Okay. That's good. I need you on the show. That's cool. Love having. Next to him, the man with a much better Edward the Seventh beard, Brett Terpstra. How you doing, man?
Oh, hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, mate. It's a really nicely coiffed beard, but
my beard trimmer, I had to get a new one because my last one died, and the new one's like maybe an inch and a half wide. So this is all done basically like hedge trimming, just carefully like sculpting with an inch and a half wide blade. It's like getting a two needle tattoo.
Okay. I've never had one of those, okay. I don't think, but
They end up with a lot of scars. If you do a good fill with a two needle tattoo, it never goes well.
Oh, right. Okay. I'll remember that for the future when I have a tattoo. I have tattoos. I don't think there was like four or five needles on the thing that I did mine with.
Yeah. That's a shader. Yeah. Or a 16.
Can you do tattoos then?
Me?
Yeah.
No, all of my tattoos were done by a roommate who got a tattoo gun for Christmas. And we were like...
That story has got a bad ending.
19 or 20 years old. And I watched him learn how to use it. He's a professional tattoo artist now. But what I know about tattoos is just from watching him learn how to use it.
Right, so he did. You weren't watching him practice on you.
Oh, yeah, totally. I have some very scarred two-needle tattoos. That's how I know.
You can buy some pieces of pork, though.
What?
You buy pieces of pork, and you can get the same effect on the pork skin, and then you can cook the
way it has. Oh, I asked for it. It wasn't like he was like, hey, let me experiment on you. I was like, hey, you have a tattoo gun. I want a tattoo. Let's do this.
Okay. Yeah, that was never going to go well at 19. That's why I waited till I was in my 40s before I had my first tattoo. Because I knew I'd make a better decision about what to put on my arms.
I still like my tattoos. They're just, early work. We'll call them classics.
I put my kids on and I'm starting to regret that already. Well, this is 17, mate. I'm regretting it daily. Next to him, the man of the hour, the bloke I turn to when everything goes horribly wrong, as it did yesterday, but we're not saying another word. Callum, how the devil are you, man?
Yeah, good. It's been a busy week for us as well.
Nice.
Seems like it's been across the board for everyone, but busy week. Lots of Mac repairs in, getting them in, getting them back out again, and just going with the flow. We're back in lockdown, so... although it doesn't feel quite the same as the first one, but getting through that and getting through the next 4 weeks, I think.
Well, it's the thing is, it's like the only work I do is in construction, which is exempt at the moment, and I only go to the supermarket to get food and booze, and that's it. My life's unchanged. I've got no friends.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, apart from you guys, and even that's stretching it a bit, I suppose. Dave Ginsburg is now. Dave Ginsburg is now known as Half Day Harry, according to Joe in the chat room.
I missed that.
Half Day Harry.
Yeah. No, just Joe's. It's actually aimed at me.
Oh,
Joe's
it's you.
Bitter and twisted. Because I'm doing the podcast from home because he was too scared to come on. So, you know, those are the kind of perks you get when you put your neck out. So.
Oh, you're absolutely. Never mind. The week in Apple, all the shiz that's gone on. We can't really go anywhere without dealing with this one first, and it could take up most of the show. There was a video posted by Hugh Jeffries. He got two iPhone 12s, and he has demonstrated, and I think actually his diligence is pretty good, that Apple are ensuring that you cannot repair the iPhone 12. And it struck a chord with me, actually, because Callum, I had a crack on my iPhone screen, and I took it into Callum and the guys at IMN Mac, and they put a new screen on. Everything worked fine, but I couldn't get FaceTime to engage. And one of the things that this stopped was FaceTime. It was something to do with the cameras, obviously, or the unit there. And in the end, IMN Mac had to refurbish my screen to get FaceTime to work on it, which was quite telling. I don't know if that's something to do with this or not. Callum's going to jump in, I'm sure. But it does look like Apple are killing third-party repairs, and they're going to get themselves in a lot of hot water, I think, with governments, particularly the EU, over that one.
Definitely. It's something that we're seeing much more with every iteration of Mac that comes out. More and more gets clamped down and locked down for third parties. You know, we're going through a situation now, especially with batteries, and it's been like that with batteries for some time, and screens with the newer models and the newer versions of iOS as well. Even if you change a screen for a genuine part, which we can get hold of in most cases, Apple knows that it's not the screen the phone came with and doesn't like it and says that this isn't the original screen. And
so that's already been happening on the 10 and 11, do you think?
It's been happening certainly on the 11s. I haven't seen it on the 10 so much. Well, definitely, with
I was
batteries.
Thinking about the issues that we had with FaceTime with my screen change, but when you went back to my refurbished screen, it worked.
Yeah. Yes, we have issues like that have been a bit fewer and further between, but we have certainly been getting issues like that. But definitely with batteries, it's been consistent across the board. And with screens, it's just something we're starting to see with 11s.
It definitely started with the iPhone 5S. That was the first time they started pairing anything, and that was the Touch ID sensor.
The thing is with the Touch ID and the Face ID, I don't have too much of an issue with that because obviously there's a security, security element to it, which I think fair enough, but when you're changing something like a battery,
battery is weird. I mean, display I can understand. Camera, I'm like.
All right, so let me ask you guys this question because this stuff comes up, and I don't know. I'm not sold that there's a department sitting around Cupertino going, I know, this is the let's F up the repair people department. We're going to make it so that nobody can repair anything. Like, I don't think they do that. I think the technology requires you to design things in a certain way to get it to fit in a certain package to maintain brand integrity, which some people might not find important. Maybe some people wish they would make it uglier and easy to repair, but that's not Apple. Apple is, you know, they have made some ugly stuff before, but in general, they try to fit design language. That's the word I'm looking for. So I don't think that there's like a department sitting around going, oh, let's purposely make this jacked up so that Callan and Joe can hate themselves and nobody can do anything but buy another phone. It sounds silly. Too much money to do that.
I might tend to agree with you if it wasn't for the fact that Apple have been very vocal about anti-third party and the right to repair.
No, and I understand the anti-third-party point. So, yeah, I will give you that for the simple reason that the reason why they say that is because in the past when I worked in a company like, you know, Joe and Callum, we used to have these fly-by-night companies that would just rip customers off. Now, when they started to make their own Apple stores, one of the primary reasons for doing that was you had a lot of really horrible ACNs out there. You had CompUSA and Circuit City famously telling people that you couldn't buy USB cables for Macs at their stores and you should buy a PC because Mac sucks, and those departments weren't disheveled, and it just, they didn't own their brand back until they started building Apple stores.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
So again, I still think it's part of the brand integrity thing of, you know, Callum guys are dope, but we have a couple of shoddy shops right here in Honolulu, brother, and I've seen them in Hong Kong, you know, so I think they did it for the safety of the consumer, again, not to just put their Johnson on the table and be like, we don't want you touching our stuff.
Yeah,
I do think it can go hand in hand. I think there is a point with the safety of the consumer, which I get and I do agree with as well, because I've seen some of the repair work that people do, and some of it's dangerous, especially when it comes to work on batteries. But I think I look at it as well, and I think if you're changing a genuine battery for another genuine battery,
there's got to be a recognition of that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that popping up saying no, you can't have that?
I think there's kind of like a middle ground. I mean, I don't think there's a department like Doc said where they just sit down and say, how can we screw people? I don't think that makes sense.
It's about
consumer security and also I think a little bit protecting Apple. Because, I mean, if any iPhone explodes for whatever reason or any part doesn't work, Apple gets sued. And nobody mentions that that was a third-party repair. And I think the other part is also that there is a significant market of, fake original Apple parts where they pretend that they're real batteries and real displays, and they're not. And I think Apple wants to prevent that from happening. There is, and I can understand that. I mean, from a consumer perspective, I can understand that. I think, and Callum, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Apple providing the tool now that you can use to pair those to the device again?
So, no. So what they're doing is, so obviously you get stories like that and the headline says, we're providing third parties the equipment to be able to change screens. Mm-hmm. You know, for genuine ones in an Apple way. But the issue is, to do that, you have to be an Apple authorized service center. So we have them over here. They're called Stormfront, and there's, I think, KCRS as well. I'd imagine there's different ones in different countries. And you have to go through Apple's hoops to be able to do it. And whereas what I would like to see, if you have a certain level of skill and a certain level of, you know, technicality behind you, you should be able to get those parts, because that would ultimately be better for the end user.
Again, I know how skilled you are, I know how good you are, but you know how I became Apple certified? I paid $150 and took a test. Why is it that you, is it, it might be different in UK, so I'm not trying to say, like, you know, look at me, I'm cool. Jerome and I, we took the test at the same time, and we just went in and took the test. And then we had to pay $900 a year to get the ACN badging and stuff. But to just get the actual certification, it was $150 in the test. Is that different there?
No, but what it is, I can be an Apple authorized technician, but I have to work for an Apple authorized service center to be able to get those parts. It's all right me being an Apple authorized technician. I can go and take
that. So the second part of that question then, so then can you guys just pay them the $900 it costs to be ACN?
We could, but that would lose half of our business, so I wouldn't be able to take a motherboard out and fix it under a microscope anymore. And I wouldn't be able to fix devices that are over 5 years old.
You couldn't do your back room repairs. They're good back repairs, but... There's a point where
you
have the same problem we have as a Genius Bar. I know absolutely how to fix it, but after we got sued so many times for dumb stuff, we had to start telling people we can't fix simple stuff because of the idiots that try to sue you for dumb stuff.
So if you're an authorized repairer, you cannot do legacy repairs under the Apple brand.
You have to play by Apple's rules, which I understand.
I forgot about that.
That's fine.
That is the problem.
That's the problem. That's the better problem than the clickbaity headline. And something should be said to Apple, like, look, there comes a point where, you know, no one's going to hold you any responsible. If someone decides to do it this way, you know, let them, but don't take away their dealership for being able to support the people that can. Mm-hmm. Because again, like, you know, and where it was super difficult for us, because in Hawaii, everybody kind of knows everybody, right? So I would actually have people that come in that have known me for 20 years prior. And then all of a sudden I got to tell them, oh yeah, I cannot just back up that data file for you because we don't do that here. And they're like, I know you know how to do it. You came to my house and did it before. And you know what I mean? And
yeah, but that's down to the tech as well though. So the one thing I'm going to point to is my, when I took the Mac SE into Apple, I arranged with the geniuses there. I know a couple of the guys there and I said, look, I want to do this. little bit of a PR stunt, but it's going to be cool. And they went, no, God, we totally want to see that in here. That'd be so cool to have a Mac of 30 years old running on the Genius Bar. And they let me take pictures of the logo and all that kind of stuff with it running. And Apple embraced it as well. But I was talking to the guy, and I was like, I don't expect you to actually do anything to help. It's just a bit of a stunt. And he went, as far as I see, we support our OSs. I'm not going to support the hardware, so if there's anything faulty on the hardware, there's nothing I can do to help you. But I don't see why there's a limitation on supporting our OSs. If the hardware functions, I see it as in my remit to support you and get that running through the OS. So I will help you with the OS. That's not an issue. And I thought that was quite an interesting take, because he's an extremely good genius. But it was just like, yeah, but the OS is not time limited. The hardware's time limited, absolutely, but the OS isn't.
You know what's sad about that, Ewan? Nowadays, like, our store was like that. Our boss was like that. I was like that. Most of our guys were like that. But the new cats, they're not like that at all. And most of them are scared to get fired, so they won't even do things. We used to do things kind of like on the gray edge that could technically get us in trouble. And most guys won't do that anymore because they're too afraid to get fired, which is, you know, it's bad for the customers. So a quick story. What we used to do, which was completely against company policy, we live in Hawaii. We're floating in the ocean 3 days to get parts. When black top cases would crack on every MacBook, like every MacBook, every plastic white and black MacBook, the top case would crack. And you're not allowed to order parts before the part is in the DCRM where you write down the parts. So what I used to do is go to the demo floor and repair all the in-store machines. So that way the parts were in, and when people would come in, I could change it for them on the fly, because otherwise it's a 7-day repair for something that literally takes 8 minutes. Mm. And it took them to say, how the heck do you guys repair MacBooks so fast when you're in the ocean and those parts can't get here that quick? And so when the district lady came down, I told her, we cheat because that rule is ignorant. And would you want your kid to have to wait 7 days because we can't get plastic parts that don't deprecate? And then she was like, yeah, that rule is dumb. And then they changed the rule. But like nowadays, none of the guys would do stuff like that, because I stand there and listen to the dumb stuff that they say. And it's sad, because you're right. It used to be the geniuses had a little bit of flow and they could do whatever. And they were really good at this stuff. And now unfortunately, I don't think those guys exist. I had a guy tell me you can't change the SSID. I was like, what? How the hell did you get that shirt?
Jeff, you got a point, mate. You keep sucking air in, but you never say anything.
Well, the great thing is people have been making my points for me. Excuse me. So my job today is very easy. It's basically get ready to say something and let someone else say it for me. But to add to what Doc was saying about the changes with service at the Genius Bar, I do remember the days when you could walk in and sit down at the Genius Bar. They'd put a bottle of water on the bar for you, and they would just do whatever to fix the problem, and it was great. And what I have seen is that we are now at a point where Apple is so strictly controlling what the Genius Bar can do that it's actually hampering their jobs. And I think that part of that strict control is to make sure I call it the McDonald's principle. You can go into any McDonald's, and I'm saying this as someone that never eats at McDonald's, but you can go into any McDonald's and you know exactly what to expect when you place an order, because it's the same thing everywhere you go. And I think that's what Apple wants with the Genius Bar. So they make everything the same everywhere you go by restricting what the staff can do. And by extension, you get that same thing in the hardware, because it is now set as a specific thing. You know exactly what it is. And the side effect is we end up with this problem where geniuses can't give the same level of help that they used to give, and we have devices that we just can't repair.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
to be fair, half of the things Apple sells, they're not repairing. Like Apple watches, like they don't get repaired.
Yeah, no.
I just got new AirPods the other day because one of mine went dumb. But it's cool, the box that they sent, you know. But I thought I was getting two. They only sent me one. They sent me the one that was goofy, which is cool. I mean, I guess it makes sense. But how you put it back in the box and send it back was pretty cool. I was like, all right, I see what you guys are doing with the environment.
Yeah, that whole swap-out system is really slick.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the other thing that, you know, being devil's advocate a little bit is that, you know, Apple have got this, and there's two ways of looking at this. Apple have got this thing about being 100% carbon neutral in terms of their items. So you could say, well, hang on, that means you should be allowed to repair your device, because then that's not. But also what they're also saying, I think, with this is the fact that if it's unrepairable and you've got to go back to Apple, that means that when Apple take the device back, Apple can 100% recycle that into the workflow of Apple. And it's not going into a landfill, or it's not going into an e-waste thing, because it's got to come back to Apple to be repaired.
I mean, some of the stuff I've seen on that, you saying that, Ewan, that's quite interesting. I've seen people come in who've had refurbished motherboards that have quite clearly been liquid damaged previously, and they said, oh yeah, I've been to Apple, I've got a refurbished board for whatever issue they had. Say the 2011 graphics card issue in the 15-inch machines, whatever it could have been. And I've opened it up again because I've got another issue, or the same issue sometimes. And you can see very clearly, or I can see very clearly anyway, that refurbished motherboard from Apple's been liquid damaged. Now, I know they don't fix liquid damaged motherboards, but the chances are that's gone somewhere overseas and been repaired by someone and then come back. And I don't see that how... I know Apple are carbon neutral, they're aiming to be, but I just don't see how that helps.
I think sometimes those weird parts get stuck in the chain and it goes missed because of the amount of, again, third-party guys that are fixing stuff, and then it gets into the chain, and somehow through GCRM it ends back up in the system and nobody catches it. And then, like you said, it ends up in somebody's repair, and that's just horrible. Like, it's because I've seen it myself on 661 parts that it supposedly came directly from Depot, but it's very possible that it got into Depot because somebody brought it in from outside in. Because, yeah, even like the Kapton tape looked all horrible. Some of the connectors where you put the ribbons in with your little patented Apple spudger, like, it just looked like somebody else had been messing with it, and I would have to send those parts back and request a new one because I was afraid to put it in, for it was just going to be a waste of time. So... yeah, the system's great. Now, one thing I wanted to add to real fast is, the funny thing is, Apple gets beat up over this. And you know what? They probably are not alone. I'm sure most of the other phones are like the same way, because the technologies ebb and flow. They kind of look the same. They're roughly on the same path as far as what they can do and things like that. There is a general amount of parity through the physicality of all these phones. But then also, when I got my car, like, now I can't touch anything in my car. Like, because it's a hybrid, because it's electric, I can do nothing. Now, if the warranty expired and I didn't have to worry about voiding the warranty, I could get somebody to help me chisel off the protective cover, but I can't touch anything on my car.
Yeah, but this
car
is not
64 grand, not $1,200.
Yeah,
and no one's talking about this to the store, to the car.
No, but I think you're talking about something that's completely different there. And this is not, we're not talking about anti-warranty. And I've got no issue with them doing stuff that's warranty based. This is post warranty. This is when you've gone beyond your 1 year or 2 year EU warranty. There's prohibition against it, and there's no prohibition against your car being repaired once it's beyond warranty.
Oh, yeah, I'm not so sure.
But I'd have to pay somebody a lot to get that shroud taken off. That shroud is in there, brother.
But that's the point: is you can pay someone else to do that.
I get it.
Yeah, but that's the issue.
A lot of hardware in a car nowadays has the same protections as we just talked about. Stuff that is connected together that you can't exchange and so on.
Well, I think...
not as easy anymore as it sounds.
Well, you need to tell me some examples of that, really, to call that as an example.
A BMW hybrid and the BMW electric, you cannot just randomly swap parts. They are key to the car because it's a computer. And the functionality of that computer is very, very important to how that car runs. So you can't just go to the quote-unquote third-party authorized person and have them do stuff to your car. But it depends whether
that... See, I think the thing that Apple is... I stand here to play devil's advocate sometimes, but I think one of the problems that Apple has got is the fact that it's clearly a directed action to prevent. And that is where the EU are going to have issues. Because that forces people into insurance, and it has to be Apple insurance in them for them to get it to work. So that means that the Apple Care has got to be sold in order to fulfill this requirement. And then it's also saying that Apple get the money for the repairs. And that is an that is a monopolistic process. And that's
okay, so I want to ask again, prevent for what reason, though? Because it's definitely not a profit center thing for them, because it's not that much money.
Well,
so what's the reason?
I don't think that's true either. I think there is a viability for that.
As you say, Doc, I do think it's about brand control. And I think brand control does go hand in hand with how can we make it difficult for people to repair it. And I don't think there is a bit of Apple where people are going, oh, no, I'm going to sit there and make it really difficult for people to repair. Right. But I do think it goes hand in hand with them wanting to control what people see when they have an Apple device. You know,
I believe the brand control, and I know they will make money because of said brand control, but I don't believe it's the money grab that the tech...
No, I'm not saying it's money grab. Speaking. No, I don't think it's the money grab. I think it's just the fact that I think it's totally controllability, but you can't, regardless of the incentive behind it, it is still a monopolistic practice. That's the issue. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, like Google, if you said, well, look, we're just the biggest browser and the biggest search engine in the world, suck it up, that's fine. That's not what they were prosecuted for by the EU. They were prosecuted for the fact that the practices that they had reinforced that monopoly. And that's the issue. And that's where Apple are going to come unstuck. Because this is
a practice which when they get to that point, this is a good question, actually. Yeah. When they get to that point, who wins? The EU, because Apple's going to change their design for a handful of folk, or Apple. It's a big handful. Don't be a jerk. Listen.
No, it's not a handful. Say,
we'll stop selling that model to the EU. Like, which one?
You cannot. Do you honestly believe that Apple would walk away from the EU market for Apple software?
That's what I'm asking you, fam. I don't live there.
No,
I'm not ignorant enough to know that there's five people, but I'm saying that who's going to win? Like, will Apple walk away from it or stop selling that model? Or like they do in Hong Kong, they sell a actual dual SIM tray phone in Hong Kong.
I think there's three.
The 82220 that sells nowhere else.
I think
that's simple.
There's three things there. Number one, Apple couldn't cope with the loss in sales in the European Union because I think they're valid. I think also Apple would. I'm going to forget the third thing, but what I'm going to say is I think Apple would hate that case. There'd be a big fine, which I don't think they'd worry about. But the third thing is the fact that they would walk away from that with a bloody nose, having been told that you can't do this by a sector of the population of the world, and there are going to be other sectors of the population who are going to follow suit and say you can't. If they lose one fight over this anywhere in the world, they lose all the fights everywhere in the world at that point, other than absolutely. America. And America is not a big market for them.
That's the point I was trying to ask the question, because that's what I was trying to say. It wasn't about, you know...
I love you too.
Like, they could just walk away. I would say, would they walk away? That was the point.
The money doesn't bother them. The prosecution doesn't bother them. They ain't afraid. But I don't think they'd want to lose the sales. And I know they wouldn't want to lose the exhibition fight that would be there.
And I think also on that, something which I think is important there, from my point of view as someone who fixes them day in, day out, it wouldn't be my request or it wouldn't be something that I would fight for. This is purely personally for them to be able to change their devices. It's just don't be an arse at the back end when, you know, there's a 5-year-old device and I can't fix it because the battery that I've got that is genuine won't work in it. Like the way the phones are put together, that you build something and you build it how you build it. That's completely, you know, up to Apple.
If you say there's a kill switch that when it becomes legacy, Apple don't care, and the kill switch kicks in and lets anyone activate anything and let anyone do anything to it, I think that's fair.
Wouldn't even have to change the phone or the design of future phones. They could literally just, like, after whatever 5 years, they released a tool that allows you to like repair it, to bind genuine parts or bind any part even to the device, and you're done.
Moving on.
It seems like a lot of work for a phone. I mean, they're expensive.
Well, they're clearly doing it though, because you look at this guy's video, it is very specific, and it makes exactly the same faults in the camera. It is clearly deliberate, and it is deliberately coded that way, that it will not allow certain functionality in certain areas, mm-hmm. and it duplicates. That's the key thing. That's, you need to watch the video. The video is brilliant.
Yeah.
The guy does do his due diligence.
It's definitely happening.
Yeah.
It's definitely happening.
On Tuesday, we have an event. We're hoping to try and cover it, I would suggest. It'd be nice if we could do a live show during the keynote. What's coming? Who knows? One more thing, apparently. But based on the fact that Amazon have discounted all of these 16-inch MacBook Pro models by £300, I think they know on the inside that there's definitely some silicon coming. Want your views. What do you think's coming? What do you think we're going to see? But also, as well, how big's the silicon change going to be? Because it would be, it kind of like suggests to me, well, hang on, if we're going to go to silicon, then we do a big swing and then we go, right, everything's going to be silicon. But you couldn't go from now on because you couldn't physically make that many units to get out the door on day one. And someone's suggesting that only the 13-inch MacBook Air is going to have it. And it's just like, well, that's ridiculous.
Then why did they discount the rest of the stuff?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Well, so it's a two-year window, you'd start, so it's going to be some time.
But you'd start with your flagships, wouldn't you? You'd start with your high-end iMac and your high-end MacBook Pro. You wouldn't start, and then the Pro, you wouldn't start with the shitty device that you give to the kids.
Well, iMacs are out.
Why would you not start with the Mac Mini as at least one of those devices, since they're already making it?
So you think that they'd start with the Mac Mini?
Well, I think we're going to get more than one Mac announced. And since the Mac Mini is already out in the hands of developers why not release a Mac Mini to the public, because they're already making it, and then you make a second device, which would be a portable, and because the parts internally are going to be similar, and then you roll out over the next 12 months or whatever the rest of the line as silicon. And I'd be surprised if the Mac Pro was an early device on the silicon roadmap.
Yeah.
No, I think the Mac Pro, they're talking about the fact there'll be a form factor change with that when it comes with silicon, so that's probably a little way down the line yet.
Apple has already said that there's still Intel Max coming. So, I mean, that's probably the reason why we're seeing the 16-inch. I mean, it is due for an upgrade. So I think that is not an indication. The question is, where does Apple see their hardware right now, their new chips? Like, how good are they really versus the existing devices? And, I mean, even you said, like, the shitty low end. Apple has done that in the past. They did that with the MacBook Air. They did it with the MacBook. Like, they have introduced new form factors in smaller devices first.
Okay, fair
point.
And
they could totally do that again and say, okay, here is a MacBook Air or, like, a MacBook, or even like a low-end MacBook, like maybe a 13-inch MacBook Pro, but like I think that's the biggest it will go on the laptop side. Like on the lower, start on the lower end and then scale up, because you're not competing, at that point, you're not competing performance-wise with the top of the line.
Do you think there's any chance they introduce a new product line? Like instead of a MacBook Air silicone, do they come up with a new naming kind of scheme, you'd constantly have to be saying silicone when you defined your MacBook. You know, it's a MacBook silicone. When they made the transition from Motorola to Intel, didn't they introduce new products?
They kept the products around. The iMac was still there.
Like PowerBook ended.
That's true. Yes. PowerBook ended and they moved to MacBook. That's
right. True.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but it's going to be MacBook totally augmented
totally
breast.
Bring back the MacBook.
Oh, silicone. Sorry. That's my bad.
I've got so many. I've got so many alternate MacBook names running through my head now, but none of them are appropriate. Not one of them can I say on air and not get letters of complaint.
Sorry, you're going to have to edit that one out. So, you know, what's funny to me is I think, I mean, again, I'm saying no iMac because I just bought this iMac and it was almost $4,000. It would really suck balls. But the Mini is a guarantee. I'm going to just go ahead and put that on Money Shot. Mini is a guarantee. I think the MacBooks are a guarantee. MacBook Pros even can be late because they have been recently bumped. And I think they were bumped in like February or January, something like that. So they could wait. But the Mini is almost a guarantee. And I think the MacBook's a guarantee. Yeah, Mac Pro definitely going to be a form factor change. So, yeah.
Well, Apple is shipping.
We got 2 years.
Apple is shipping 12.6 million MacBooks a year on average. Yeah,
that's not, I mean.
So how are they going to manufacture? They simply cannot do it across the entire range. They've got to be selective.
Yep.
And as you say,
how many iPads did they sell in the last year for you people who follow numbers?
They could.
Because an iPad. I mean, so you got to do is just count the iPads and say, can they ramp production from there? And they just dropped iPads. Well,
but they got short. I mean, that's the other thing is at the moment, there's a suggestion that they're stealing iPad components to put in the 12s because they've got a shortage of components, power management systems particularly. LiDAR.
You know what I saw, which was great? There's a guy named, his name is Diogo, but he does this thing on YouTube called Cold Fusion. And he talked about a lot of the 12s are going to be coming from India as opposed to China because of geopolitical reasons. And also Apple just doesn't want to have all of their eggs in one basket, right? So I wonder if the new plant in India is going to pick up any of this slack and whether the supply chain issues heretofore, valid reason they happen, we know what's up. But then the new changes, we kind of don't know yet because they're just getting rolled out. I also heard from a different person who happens to work in business acquisitions, a Japanese guy, he's in building. They're building something in Kenya right now. So they're going to make another plant in Kenya. So they're spreading it out because they don't want to have what happened in February, March to happen to them again.
Maybe they're producing that in Wisconsin in the new Foxconn factory there.
What, do they need really cold components?
Three years of bust.
Yeah, exactly.
The problem in Wisconsin is all the workers are slow and don't want to do anything and whatever. I mean, you saw that. I don't know if you saw that Netflix special. It was funny to me because people are mad that it made it look bad. But just from seeing both places and the way culturally you work together, forget anything other than culturally, the way you cordially work together and don't do stuff to just jack up your other person or not show up and, you know, whatever, that doesn't work here. We'll have a long time before we can train that out of the American workforce.
You've got to cut through the patriotic juice in your head and realize that there is no way on God's green earth that a consumer electronics firm is going to build a plant in the middle of the U.S. unless there is a tax holiday on overseas income returning to the country.
And it's all robots.
I believe that 100%. I would never even doubt that.
Because there is no way that it's A, going to go smoothly, or B, it's going to be profitable.
Exactly.
Don't forget the Wisconsin plant hasn't purchased or installed any manufacturing hardware.
Exactly.
Apple took the tax holiday. Apple took the tax holiday, got all of the money back in the country, and all they've done is build like a shop, like a Wild West front for like Westworld.
It's just a shed
and on the inside there's a little tiny pool table, and it's only a 6-foot pool table smack in the middle of this warehouse.
But I mean, Apple could, like, I mean, if Apple wanted to, they could probably switch out all Macs, but why would they want to?
They couldn't. They can't manufacture that many.
If you look at how many products they produce in a year, if they absolutely wanted to, they would have, and they have enough time to prepare.
If you look at,
they wouldn't ever do that.
They couldn't. I mean, if you look at the fact that they've got to get four Mac portable lines in, They've got to get the iMac in two formats to go in, and they've got the Mac Pro to do. You look at the monthly sales for those figures. They'd have had to have started producing in July, and they couldn't have afforded the warehousing for that. It just they're reliant on almost like a just-in-time delivery system. And Tim's the master of the supply chain, is he not? So there's no way he's going to look at warehousing as a cost option.
How is that different than shipping the Macs with Intel chips? It is not.
It absolutely is, because the Intel chips are ready to fly out the door.
If they wanted to, they could. But why would they? Because that is also putting all your eggs in one basket with one chip design and hoping that everything works smoothly.
No, but that means you've got to fulfill the existing supply chain to the people. So basically, on Monday night, they've got to be able to supply an Intel computer to someone who wants one, and then on Tuesday morning supply, and God knows how many, the people in the silicon format. And that's just, they wouldn't keep that level of stock. They have to have a month to 2 months build-up. How is that
different than shipping a new, like whatever, switching?
Because it's a product changeover. Product changeover kills you on warehousing.
Like, how is that different than switching from one design to the next one? Like,
because you've got to keep a level of product for sale on Monday and a level of product for sale on Tuesday. That doubles your warehousing. And they can't physically make that many Macs.
Also, Patrice just hit on it there.
For a switchover like this is, to me, different than say, when Apple does a spec bump on a MacBook Pro. Because they can start making, excuse me, a little bit ahead of time, the new MacBook Pro, while they're still selling the previous model. And then when the new one comes out, if you ordered right before the new one comes out and they ship after it comes out, okay, you just got the new model. Whereas if they're doing the whole thing where they have to stockpile a bunch of silicon models, and you order right before the silicon comes out, now there's no Intel models, but what you bought was an Intel model. That's what you expected to get. You get a silicon model. Now you have a problem because you did not get what you actually bought. So, Patrice, you're right. If Apple wanted to, they have the resources. They could totally plan ahead of time and stockpile for months. And then just do a switch over.
The cost would be
prohibitive. But I don't think that's what they'll do.
No, but they can't, because the cost would kill them. The cost of storage.
But they have the money to do it.
No, but they wouldn't do that.
They won't do it, and you're right, the cost would kill them. But if they really wanted to, they have the resources to do it. They're just not going to.
No, the point is, when you do product changeovers are the worst possible thing for logistics supply. Because 100%. Of the fact you're storing two items to every one. So when you do a product changeover, you want to limit the amount, which is why product sales dwindle and you start to find difficulty buying items to begin with. But there is no difficulty buying an Intel MacBook Pro at the moment. I could walk into an Apple store, if I was allowed, and buy one this very instant. To be honest, I actually think Apple have told governments across the world, we've all got to go into second lockdown so that they haven't got to do the storage of second Intel systems so they can do the big swap over.
They do a hybrid between the just-in-time methodology and warehousing. It's not like a full warehousing, right? They try to keep a lot of stuff in the flow. That's what made them so good. And again, like I mentioned earlier, that's what made repair such a pain in the butt at some point for certain parts. But they don't necessarily back stock shelves. They keep a very low amount of stuff in inventory. So that hybrid system does allow some flexibility. But Ewan is right. It takes a long time to ramp, retool, and all this other stuff, which most of you guys know. I'm not telling you anything new. So you got to remember, though, this is the reason why they specifically stated 2 years. It's going to take some time. So I, you know what? Maybe MacBooks, the education one, they can put out now because the sales right now wouldn't be super ridiculous because most of them have already been sold for schools. But the MacBooks that come out during Christmas and whatnot are the things that people get, you know, their girlfriend or their their husband or wife as a second computer. It's the couch computer. It's not the, you know, like, I got to get this work done. The only people that are buying them en masse at the end of the year, which is coming up, would be companies that close their fiscals in December. So they would be creating a crazy supply chain problem, especially because on the business side, it doesn't get billed until the product is in shipment. So even if they were trying to get all these people to get their, you know, end of year fiscal monies put in for people that run on annual accrual, they're going to have a hard time if there's a supply chain problem. So they don't want to make another supply chain problems. We've been through way too many Apple-oriented gates. So this is going to be interesting, folks. Like, this is going to be super interesting what happens.
So your predictions...
Also as well, Patrice hit on it as well. That obviously if they flick a switch tomorrow and say, yeah, we're just shipping Silicon Max, you know, nobody knows at this stage. I know Apple are going to test it till, you know, till the cows come home, but we don't know what niggles there are going to be. We don't know how it's going to interact with certain things. So I think for them to make a total shift straight away,
Apple don't care.
I know we're all saying the same thing, but it just isn't something to do because it's too big a risk of failure of, yeah, you know, things not working properly and then being overrun with people phoning up and shouting.
We have this conversation in the ECAM community a lot because everyone's afraid that it's going to break something. And I'm like, it's not going to break anything because, number one, I know the boys have a development machine, but I can't say that. So I know that it's going to work. But what I've been telling, like, my music guys on the DJ podcast, our Serato and algorithm already worked. And that's the primary program that most of us are using. And they go, what do you mean it already works? Because it works on iPhone and iPad already. So what we're doing doesn't really require a lot of hardware per se. And the hardware, you know, our controllers and stuff are little, you know, pads and things that we can use to do like little sounds or whatever, our sound pads and stuff. It's all USB. And so we don't have that problem of ASIO drivers. And, you know, Brett's a musician, so he knows. Like, back in the day, any adjustment Apple would do would just break every audio program out there. But most of that stuff, once USB came into play, most of that stuff doesn't, we don't have that problem. Pro Tools is like the last holdout where they have their own custom little pain in the butt drivers. And many people have jumped that ship. So I think that because of the iPad to silicon transition and most of the apps, it's going to be layout changes. And then they have a thing that you have inside the dev kit that sort of helps you get there. I don't think it's going to be as much of a hassle programmatically. I don't think. But anyway, I like to hear
Doc, Doc, you carried on fighting after Doc, you carried on fighting after the round was over. You disqualified.
Punch the bell.
You carried on punching after the bell. Yeah, that's, sorry, you're done.
Wait, I want to hear Brett's take on it because he's the only, like, well, him and Patrice are the developers here.
Carried out to the table.
Jeff, sorry, Patrice. Sorry, no, Brett, go.
What? I don't want to.
Why?
Okay.
Doc was waiting. Don't leave the dude hanging.
I
don't want to.
I have had, I have not had the time I wanted to have to put into really developing on the silicone mini that I have here. And I'm not feeling confident enough to say it's going to be easy or difficult programmatically. It probably won't be as big a deal as it feels like right now.
Are you allowed to say that, or do I need to cut that out?
Oh, I think that's legit.
Okay.
That's a fair assessment. I'll take that. Not that you care what I say, but I'll take it anyway.
Of course we care. We care what everyone says. Until we disagree with them. And then it's my show and you can all piss off. Right. That's the wrong... Here we go. This podcast and all the rest is supported by TSO Host. This network is supported by them. We are totally indebted to all the stuff that they've done. And a couple of years now of support, which has been absolutely phenomenal. You guys love them. You keep buying stuff off them. BTN20 gets you 20% off your hosting packages in with them. And they are lovely. They keep looking after us. You have got to get yourself out on the socials. That's what they really want. Forget about all the other stuff. get yourself out on the socials and say thanks at DSO Host for supporting at Fish Tech, because they keep us afloat. We've pared back the feeds a little bit. We've got some of the really embarrassing episodes, but Righty is going to be releasing some of the classics on a new feed when we get that sorted. And some of the classic episodes like Debbie McGee's Five of Spades, but that will be out on the classics feed. I Must Not Drink Whilst Podcasting, however, will not be on that. But please support TSO Host. Get yourself out on the socials, and get yourself out on the socials for IMN Max, because we're stuffed without them and all. They're a wonderful supporter. They surprise us every week with insightful information from Callum, which is lovely. He comes on at his own expense and cost. He should be finished work now, but he's not. He's still here talking to us. So thank you, Callum. They do loads. Anything with an Apple logo of any age, and that's the key part that Callum was making earlier on, because they're not constrained by Apple. They can repair anything with an Apple logo, no matter how old it is. So get it to them, and they will get it sorted for you. They've even helped me out with something with a PC issue this week. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say that or not, but I did. There you go. No, it's only because you love me and you took pity on me, Cal.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And I promised I'd buy you beer. And they do data recovery as well, and they do refurbished machines. So there's a whole pile of stuff that they've got in stock that you can get for just the kids doing anything from just a bit of email and browsing right the way up to full gaming. So, Cal, have we got a machine of the...
I've got some machines of the week. So we've got lots of iPads in at the moment. iPad Air 2s. We've got a lot of iPad Pro 12.9-inch models. So, we've just got a lot of those at the minute. So if you go onto our website, have a look on there. Again, 5% off for everything if you mention BTN. And, we've got a lot of iPads, and we need to start shifting them. So,
no, great. Good stuff, mate. Lovely. Support them if you possibly can. Also, as well, if you've got any legacy machines that you don't use anymore, give them a call, because they might want the parts. And Ian Lewis has done that in our Slack room and was very happy with the results, all I can say.
Yeah. We try and make it easy for people. So.
Cool. Time for the cool thing. Start us off. Doc.
Oh, I started this a while ago when it first came out. And then they came out a little bitty one. And then I got the Big Daddy now. Come here, girl.
You're talking about a Stream Deck. I know you're talking about a Stream Deck, because I've been looking at the Big Daddy one and all.
I got the Big Daddy now. It's so cool. I haven't even taken it out of the box, because I was saving it. And then last week we got bumped. I can't wait to get into this. I know.
You haven't got it out of the box?
Huh? No, yep. I'm still here. I've been waiting for you, fam.
Oh, live unboxing. Here we go. Live unboxing.
I know it would drive you nuts, but let me pop it open real quick. I've been waiting to open this thing, and this, to me, like, I thought maybe I would get confused or drive myself crazy having a bunch of extra buttons and whatnot, but there's so much more you can do, and the community around Stream Deck has just grown massively. And so if you go into the subreddit, and I know that's a weird place to hang out, but first of all, check this baby out. Of course, they got very Apple-y with their packages and the little soft carton bebedies or underwear, or I don't know what you guys call them, woolly jumpers. But look at that. It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful. The only problem I've got is I've got the standard size Stream Deck, the 5x3 one, 15 button one. And I've got one button I don't even have anything for. I ran out of ideas.
What are you gonna
do? Yeah, exactly.
I had the mini. I had the six button one, and I ran out of room. So I bought the 15, and I have not filled up the 15 yet. I don't know what I would do with an extra. What is it?
Yeah, I think it depends on your application. But I mean, like, I think I'd do pretty well if I had Photoshop. I'd probably fill it and want more. But in terms of Wirecast, I've got line 3, which is Doc. I got line 1, which is Def. Line 2, Patrice. Line 2 again, Patrice. Line 4, Dave. Line 5. And I haven't got one for Cal today because he's on line 6 and there isn't a 6. 4-way Mac. 6-way Mac. Me. I'm in the middle, as I would be. 4-way Big. 6-way Big. which is silly, really, so I could just get rid of those. And there's two extra there. I've got one for the webcam, which isn't connected. I got one for the MacBook, which is connected, and one for the Mac Pro, which isn't live. And then I've got a blank one, and then I've got the go live button. So that's it.
The good thing you have
to know. So here's how you're going to fix this problem, Ewan, because number one, I'm going to get you moved over to Ecamm. Ecamm actually comes with the Stream Deck profile SDK already in there.
I need this, man.
Okay, now here's the other thing that's cool. In my Ecamm situation, right, say I was running the same exact panel, I'd have to have one person on Skype, or we just kick one person out, because it's basically you plus four guests. But I can move the guests around with the buttons, and those profiles already exist, so you don't have to program them. But if you want to program them, there's an application called Bunch. I think you can, there's some dude I know you can get it from, and then you can use that to help you launch applications. Your other programs like Final Cut and whatever, they have a thing called Command Post, and Command Post is something that a person like Brett should look into, because Command Post allows you to get like very CLI oriented with your Stream Deck, because the stuff that they give you for system control is very minimal, because again, it's designed for gamers and they're figuring these cats aren't going to do that kind of stuff. But with Command Post, it becomes a full-on switcher. It's incredible what you can do with this thing. And so dig into reddit.com/streamdeck. There's tons of fantastic profiles for myriad programs. But with the SDK, people have added so much more than that what used to be there. Like, it used to be what was in the SDK was dumb. But now they've added so much more, and I can control my lights with it. I can control my scenes, my overlays, trigger sounds for my soundboards, like the whole nine yards. So that's why I needed to go to the 32. So your lower thirds, all of that, your ad rolls for what you have set up for the host and for Cal and all of that, you can just have it up. Oh, it's magnet. Sorry. you can you'll see. Like, ooh, it's Doc, pretty rare.
Doc's new feature. Oh, it's got a magnet.
Apple got us all jazzed on magnets now. So whenever something has a magnet scoop, but I'm going to change this. I'm going to build me a custom wood one out of Koa so it looks magnet. Dope on the desk.
Oh, shiny magnet.
Oh, shiny.
Oh. Yeah. Save us, dude.
I own magnets.
My pick is a lot less expensive. It's a Mac app called Glue Motion. And what it does is it lets you do stitch together time-lapse photography images and make an animation out of them. And it's super easy to use. So you just give it a folder full of images and it pops them together, and it gives you controls over managing flicker and speed and all the stuff that you would want to be able to do, and to be able to do it easily. And then it just exports out your movie for you, and it does MOV and MV4 and one or two other formats. And it's just super easy to use.
Well, is there a limit on the number of files it can process? Because I've got a program called Sequence, which is great, but it can only do 2,000 and then it bums out.
I don't know what the limit is on how many images it can handle. It's like $17 or $18, but it's also on SetApp.
And no, SetApp. I was just going to ask that. No, ka-ching. No.
Oh, Jeffrey, you got him. Oh, God. It was in the SetApp email like a month ago, so I only knew that because.
Oh, was it? Email.
Yeah. You don't read the SetApp email?
Yeah, no, Glue Motion.
I do, but not every time.
I do.
No, or App of the Week is always really, really good on SetApp. Always worth looking at. Just no matter what they pick, just download it and play with it.
I don't think there's a bad app on there, to be fair.
No, there isn't. True. We're having a chat. Yeah,
that's one of the great things about SetApp. Just try stuff out, and if you don't like it, okay, whatever. Just delete it and keep going.
I got an email from Brad at Mac 4 this week saying, I've got two people that are currently working on Clean My Mac, and they'd like to talk to you, and they'd like to pitch to you about supporting and offering stuff BTN. And I'm like, okay. That's fine by me. And I put on the email, I said, don't work too hard on your pitch. You're in. I don't care what you're going to say, you're in. Because you got the best piece of software going. Clean My Mac is God's gift to the humanity.
Well, you know it's the same team, right? Philippe and those guys set up and Clean My Mac. It's the same guy.
Yeah. But these are two different people. Not Philippe. Brad introduced them and said that they wanted to pitch. I was like, yeah, but don't work hard on that pitch, Christ. good pick, mate. I've downloaded it, so I need to physically use it then. That would be useful.
It makes a difference in function.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Patrice, talk us through your cool thing.
So my cool thing, I have a feeling.
You're trying to start an argument. You're trying to start an argument today with me, aren't you?
You're going to hate me because I'm going to make you watch Discovery again.
I'll disagree with you, but I'm not going to hate you.
The new season is really, really good. Like, I have genuine... I mean, the first season was okay. It was okay. Like, it wasn't great. It was the first season of Star Trek, basically. The second season got better.
No, that was even worse.
The third season is really, really good.
Right, hang on.
For the future, I'm going to say as much. Every episode so far, I've, like, on its own, really enjoyed. I'm re-watching them again, and I mean, we're only four episodes in, I think.
I just want to refer the Honourable Lady to my previous comments, which I said, the reason it's not doing very well and it's a bit shit is the fact that Star Trek has always been episodic, and the episodes are not sealed episodes. And what have they done in Season 3? They have done sealed episodes where there is a resolution to a storyline, but there is an overarching storyline that goes with it.
Yeah.
And that is why it is better. And I am telling you, it is better. I'm not saying it's good, but it's better by a long way in Season 3.
It's more the Deep Space Nine approach. Like, there is a big story arc and there are individual pieces.
Yes. And I couldn't agree with me more on this.
Yeah,
I'm really enjoying Season 3. And to me, it feels like what they did was they said, what if we took all these characters we created in Star Trek Discovery and we put them in a new show? And we'll call it Star Trek Discovery, but it's just a new show.
No, that's not the way it happened. What they happened was they said, there's this guy in England, right? And he's come up with this idea about it being episodic and we should listen to him.
You know what?
In my head, that's how it happened.
Right. I remember reading the insider articles about their special consultant that went by codename Ewan.
That's why the season's better. I mean, what other correlation do you need?
Yeah.
The reason why
it's better is I'm not a fan of going back in time. Like the going back.
So you're okay with it going forward in time, though?
Yes. I mean not in the show going, like, doing time travel. That's silly anyway. I mean the show, setting the show in, like, previous time. Like, I always have an issue with.
Oh, retrospectives, mate.
Between
with you.
Generation and original series, or before original series, or whatever. There's
conflict.
Like, the stories are kind of the same, and they're kind of trying to fill in things. I don't like that, and they throw them completely in the future.
I can't stand flashbacks. Orange is the New Black season 5 just died for me with all the flashbacks back to what happened before I got into prison. I don't give a shit. You're in prison. Just carry on with the storyline, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and so far that's what I like. They go like 1,000 or 900 something years in the future, and everything is different.
Yeah, Orange is the New Black is now Orange is the New Boring.
I think they do that because they run out of stuff and they're just trying to drag. You're right. It is kind of whack.
Faulty Towers rule, mate. 2 seasons, shut up. That's the way to do it. 2 seasons, get it off.
Now, I think as well with Star Trek Discovery, I've watched the first 2 seasons. I haven't watched episode 4 yet, but what I did find the first 2 seasons, I'd watch an episode and then not be bothered about watching the next one. And it wouldn't make me want to go, oh, I really want to see the next one.
Yes.
Watching it now does make me feel that. It makes me go, oh, I've got to wait another week, and that's annoying.
For a shit show, I've really enjoyed this season. I've actually been looking forward to the episode. No, it is.
That's saying a lot.
Because I was just, at the end of season two, I'm like, I want to find a razor blade and see and end it all if I've got to watch another episode of this. But,
drastic.
But I thought, no, come on, give it a go. They might have listened to me. They might have done what I suggested. And lo and behold, they have. Mm. Here we go. Dave, have you got a cool thing?
Yes.
This isn't this week in Star Trek, by the way.
No, sorry, I apologize. Actually, I'm watching Discovery too. It is a great season compared to the other two. I agree 100%.
Because they were shit.
I have a.
That was so polite.
I'm not being polite. I mean, I agree with you. The first two seasons were not. They were not
good. Go on, say shit. Go on, just say shit.
I'll say shit. Here we go.
Yes, get in.
So I have a USB-C charger I found by Aki here. It's called the Aki Omni. 3-port 90-watt charger, again, check technology. It's got the power charging. This thing is charging things like incredibly fast. I have my
dude,
iPad.
Dude, did you realize that it blurred out the port?
What?
Just turn it back to the thing. Show the port to the camera.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Take it. There you go. It blurs out the port. It thinks it's a vagina.
Oh, because of my background.
Oh my god.
I put the link in the show notes. You can bring that up. Or in this chat.
So you can go look for yourself.
Yes, you can look for yourself. But it does do multiple charging, so you can charge two things at once, and it's a really great charger. It's a small size, charges your MacBook Pro. I charge mine, and it charges quick, and you don't carry that big bulky charger.
Do you know how we know that this is a really good device?
How do you know?
Currently unavailable.
It's available here.
No, this is your link. It says currently unavailable. They've sold out, mate. It's that good.
I think they just don't like you, Ewan, because I'm looking at it.
Or they're sold out in the UK. It's not sold out here.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm showing a picture of currently unavailable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So brilliant pick, mate. If you pick something that's that popular... Super.
Oh, my screen looks different. But it's a great charger, nonetheless.
No, good. That's two chargers in two nights, because Jeff did an 18-watt one for USB-C yesterday. I was listening, Jeff, see?
You were. I'm just amazed.
Thanks, man.
Like, I didn't think anyone ever listened.
No, I always listened. I listened to Doc leaving early last week.
Hey, I'm leaving early on Tuesday too, because I'm gonna be on Twit.
Oh, give over!
Hey, I thought you were gonna.
Did you have a word about booking me on that?
Yes, I did, and so did Andy after me. And we said it together.
And what did they say?
Oh yeah.
And what? You must be having a laugh. I wouldn't have that twat on this show.
He didn't say that.
No, I'd be surprised if he didn't.
We were live, so he couldn't say it. What he said after, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what he said after. The problem is I'm such an unknown. I might say the word vagina from no reason.
Vagina is a perfectly acceptable
word.
It's
in the dictionary. It's in Merriam-Webster as well, which is not a proper dictionary. So
it's a mangina.
Okay, thanks, man. Brett, you've got a sensible pick.
Yeah. I just got an email this morning.
Kiss ass to Brett.
Well, I'm not kissing ass to Brett.
It was a joke.
He's already spoken for an hour and a half.
What?
Jeff, go. Sorry, Brett, go ahead.
Jesus.
Yeah, I apologize.
The version 2 of the Ultimate Hacking Keyboard is available for pre-order right now, and it comes with hot swappable switches and RGB backlighting, hot swappable feet, and braided cables. And if anyone has an extra $350 US, this is on my Christmas list.
That's pricey.
Well, that includes the wrist rests, which are like $75 on their own.
But it's a good keyboard, I take it.
Oh my God. I have the version 1. I don't think I can ever use another keyboard again.
Oh really? That good?
I love it.
You can add your own trackpad, eraser head, or
or a touchpad to the side? That's dope. I didn't know that.
So those have been promised. They're in production. They have been for like 2 years now. They've never shipped one of the thumb modules yet. But they keep promising they will.
As long as they haven't deducted it from your credit card, you're okay.
Oh, I've paid for 2 thumb modules.
Still not got them?
No. Maybe they haven't actually. When I first got this, I did like a Kickstarter for it and totally forgot I had ever signed up for it because it took them like 2 years. And then all of a sudden, my card got dinged for the 175 or whatever it was for the Kickstarter. And I got it in the mail, not even remembering having signed up for it, but then I fell in love with it.
Yeah, I've got tech that used to do that a lot. Did I buy this? Yes. Oh, bloody hell, I did.
Oh, man, the white case color right there. I can make me a stormtrooper.
White case with box white switches. I'm in.
Dude, I became a mech head over the last year, and it drives me crazy. I'm literally next to my leg. I have a bag with like 300 purple switches in it because I've become a mech keyboard head. But I love these browns. I love the fact that they're hot swappable so you can get jiggy with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn you, Brett. This is expensive.
I know.
I just bought a HomePod and a new phone today.
You send the screen back.
What did I?
I'm going to send the HomePod back. that was a wing. This is cool.
Callum, have you got a cool thing for us before it turns into Saturday?
I do, yeah. So my cool thing this week is WidgetSmith. So it's an app you can download for your iPhone, and it basically gives you a load of nice emojis, widgets that you can customize, add to your home screen, obviously, and you can just do loads and loads of different things with them. There's an awful lot to play with on it, so it's definitely worth downloading and having a quick look. There is in-app purchases on it. I haven't ran into a point yet where I've needed to pay with it, but I haven't explored too much with it either. But it is a very, very nice app where you can just do an awful lot of neat things with it.
Excellent. Good man. Oh, not the right people.
Icon Finder has good packs for it too, Cal. So if you want to get that minimalist looking front face or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, at the moment, I'm just playing with all the different things you can do. It's just, you can do, there's so much different stuff out there, and even just with Apple.
Patrice posted in Slack the screen that she made. It was kind of cool. It was a little too German for me, but it was dope.
A little too German.
It's a joke.
Okay.
But just show your screen.
I don't remember what I posted.
Ah, you fired. Never mind.
My cool thing is Chuck Joyner's Trek favorites. Yes. And actually, the thing that made me think about this was actually talking to MacPaul about Clean My Mac 3 and setup. And they were going on about the fact that they were, you know, good Trek fans in the conversation. I was like, wow, you should totally sign up to go to Jeff's podcast. And if you're a Trekkie and you're a Trekker and you really love your Star Trek, then get in touch with Chuck, because he'll have you on the show. And I've got to say, having listened to a couple of the episodes, I am gobsmacked at people's take on episodes. Some things that I've never seen before in the episode that I never clocked were that important to the storylines. And it's always been interesting. I might not have agreed with them all, but I certainly enjoyed seeing the different take on it. So trekfavorites.com, favorites spelt the American way, not the UK way, so don't stick a U in it.
Correct way.
Yeah. No,
correct.
No, the way that you correct. No, the correct. Way that you started spelling it because you ran out of U's because you called yourself the United States of America.
The wrong way.
Well, to be fair, we were wrong a young way. Country and limited resources. We had to ration.
You were rationing U's, that's right. Wales tried that, and there was absolute rioting, and they rationed the use.
I was on that show as well.
I swear I did an episode, and I can't find it.
You can't
did
find...
I, did he boot my episode because I picked something from Enterprise? Oh, there I am.
You're in there, you see.
You've got to have faith it's going to be there. Awesome.
But I like the ones where they haven't picked the obvious episodes. The ones where they picked the big episodes. Because all the big episodes went quickly. And I, the one that I did, I picked Tin Man, which I thought was really quite an interesting episode for a lot of reasons. You can listen to and find out. But the ones that are not the mainstream episodes are way, way more interesting than the ones that are.
So basically anything from Enterprise.
Yeah, no, Enterprise is way better because I haven't watched that either.
I'll have to get in touch with Chuck. I'm a big Trekkie.
You
so.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, if you pick one for Discovery and Found Something Deep, you're tripping, man. You're absolutely tripping. Where can we get a
Voyager? But
Voyager was good. Doc, where can we get a hold of you?
All over the interwebs at DOCROCK, and check out the streams on YouTube.com/DocRock every Tuesday and Saturday.
Mate, thanks for staying for the whole episode. Love you.
You jerk.
Jeff, where would you be?
Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamet, both places. The Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays. Are we doing a live show on Tuesday?
I'm totally up for a live show, though. Doc's got to leave early.
Okay, well, then I'll see everyone on Tuesday for the live show.
Yeah, we're totally doing a live show. I can't not. I'm going to drink. I'm going to get a taxi down here and drink heavily for that. It'd be more fun that way. Patrice, where will you be?
Every week here on the Big Show, on the Mac Show, and on Tuesday, I'm guessing also on the whatever show that's going to be.
The live show. Live keynote show.
Live show, whatever. The drinking show. And the Tim Cook drinking game show. I don't know. Everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Yeah. Yo, every time Tim says products, we got to take a drink.
No. We've got to do a draw for this. We've got to say, right, okay, pick it. We'll do a bingo where we pull out a thing. And if someone picks greatest ever, then they're going to be shit-faced. Fastest ever. Anyone that picks the word ever out is going to be off their rockers by about 10 minutes in.
At the last one, if you'd picked 5G, you would have ended up in the hospital with alcohol poisoning.
Oh, yeah. And Verizon as well. FoodieFlashback.com, and I'm going to try to edit Brett's episode this weekend. You can listen to the cool things that we talked about.
And Brett's going to come in 6 months and swear by him that he canned his episode. When you didn't. Mr. Ginsburg, where would you be?
I'd be at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com here on the Mac Show, and you can find me on Twitter at DaveG65.
Are you all right, mate? Because you haven't spoken much today, and you look like you stopped. This isn't being fun anymore.
No, I'm just having a great time.
You're just doing what Joyner does and turns up. We're just your entertainment.
Yeah, you guys are just so entertaining. I just have to sit back and... Hey, let's take it all in.
Dance for me, Rankin.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you, mate. Are you available Tuesday?
I don't know as of yet. I'll let you know.
That's a polite no. Mr. Terpstra, King Edward Terpstra, where would you be?
Edward.
King Edward. You need to find a picture of King Edward, mate. You are totally, that beard is totally King Edward.
Fair enough.
King Edward the Seventh.
God, no one lets me talk anymore.
Go ahead.
Okay. TT Scoff on every social media service, including GitHub and Ello, if you ever... Yeah. And BrettTerpstra.com is where I blog, and you can find my podcasts at SystematicPod.com and OvertiredPod.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for your time and effort. And last, but by no means least, Callum, where would you?
Yeah, you can find us and everything we do at immmax.com. We're on all the socials at immmax. I'm in the Slack room. You can drop us an email on info@immmax. And you can get me on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. If you've got any questions, you feel free to reach out to us on any of the platforms. And
I was going to say, advice is free, is it not? You're quite happy to give out some advice to people.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. No, any problems with anything, especially BTNers, you know, we'll be there to help you.
Excellent, thank you. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can find me not on any Twitch shows because I'm too inappropriate. And we'll, Leo, if you're listening, mate, which you're not, I'll be more reserved on yours, I promise. At British Tech for the network, at Ewan Rankin for me, and we'll be back again next week. We're going to do a live keynote show on Tuesday, and then we're going to do big show on Thursday and actually Friday with the wash up of the whole thing. Sorry we've been a bit sporadic in the posting, but work's got in the way. But I've posted the big show from last night already, and I'm going to post this one tomorrow, hopefully. So we should be up to date by the time you get this. You will get this before the Tuesday show that's going to be live. So we might get a better turnout. Who knows? Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.